Please take your Bibles and please turn with me to Mark's Gospel account and chapter 4. Just reading a few verses from this passage. This is where we're going to be looking later in the service. And then I want to read a few verses from John as well. But first of all, we read Mark chapter 4 at verse 26. And as we read these verses, as we think about them together, just be thinking about these things. Why is Jesus using these farming stories? This is one of a number of farming stories he uses. Why is he using it? What's going on in the disciples' minds that he's telling them this? Secondly, can you see yourself in this parable, in this story? And if you can, who has grown you? You haven't just produced spiritual life yourself. Who has grown you? So Mark chapter 4 at verse 26 on page 972. This is God's word. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the stalk, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And then if you turn over with me to John's Gospel account and chapter 17. Just a few verses from John chapter 17. And this is on page 1053. John 17. And we're on the right hand side of the page near the bottom, verse 12. And Jesus is saying these words to his Father. He's praying to his Father. And he's praying just before he's going to be arrested. But he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about his disciples. John chapter 17, verse 12. "While I was with them," that is, with the disciples in the world, "I kept them in your name," Jesus prays. "Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Amen. May God bless to us this reading and also the preaching of his own precious word. Please do take your Bibles and do have them open at Mark chapter 4. We're really concentrating just on those four verses that we read earlier, from verse 26 to verse 29. A marvellous series has just finished on the BBC. I wonder if you saw it. It was called The Great British Year. But if you didn't see it, you can still watch it on the iPlayer. And they made one programme about each of the seasons. About winter, spring, summer and autumn, in that order. They used all kinds of camera tricks to show God at work, even though they never used his name. There were slow motion pictures of drops of water falling into ponds. And there were pictures speeded up to show green trees turning red and orange in the autumn. There was film of many of the animals that share our home. Birds and fish and insects and bigger animals, as well as human beings. And what ties into our study passage for today is a sequence near the middle of the program on summer, where the narrator says, "The world is turning from green to yellow." And then just as he said it, you could actually see it happening. The young green shoots in the fields straightening up and becoming golden and full of grain in the warmth of the sun. That's exactly what verse 28 is saying. "For the earth yields crops by itself, first the stalk, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." And because of these clever pictures, you can actually see it. It made me simply want to praise God. The message is, trust God. He surely knows what he's doing. So today we look together at the parable of the growing seed, and that's just quite simply what we'll call the sermon, what the passage is called in our Bibles, the parable of the growing seed. And this is really the opposite of the parable of the sower. In that parable, we were thinking mostly about the sower and about the different soils. In this parable, we're thinking mostly about the growth of the seed. Not so much about man, more about God. And as Jesus tells the parable, there are really three parts to it. Firstly, in verse 26, there's the scattering of the seed. Then in verses 27 and 28, there's the growing of the seed. And finally in verse 29, there's the reaping of the seed. It's all very simple, but it's all very beautiful. And God is in charge of the whole thing. That's the main message. Trust God. He surely knows what he's doing. Well, do you trust God? All of the time? Any of the time? So firstly, the man scatters the seed. And you can see just from the size of the man's arm and the tiny size of the seed, how small the seed is. Verse 26. "And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Now, you may not be a farmer, or you may be, but I'm sure we all know what farmers do everywhere. A farmer goes out to sow seed in one of his fields. And then at the end of the day, he comes home and he goes to bed. To look at the field, there's not much change, but the farmer can still relax. Does that bother you? Are you disturbed because the field looks just the same? Of course you're not. You know a bit about how nature works. You know a bit about how things grow. It doesn't happen overnight. You see, the disciples were getting a little bothered because not much seemed to be happening in the kingdom of God. Yes, Jesus was doing things, but on a rather small scale. Caesar was still on his throne. In fact, Jesus' enemies are getting stronger. So as Jesus tells this parable, he's saying to the disciples, if you're not bothered about the farmer in his situation, why are you bothered about me? This is what the kingdom of God is like a farmer scattering seed. And scattering seed isn't very dramatic. You won't see on the front page of the newspaper, man sows seed in field. But all the same, it's something which makes a real difference. At the start, you have an empty field producing nothing. At the end, after some months' time, you have a field full of grain that can be turned into bread to feed hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people. What is it that makes the difference? You can answer me here. What makes the difference? It's a small word for a small thing. It's the seed that makes the difference. I have some of these seeds again. I have about 10 seeds in my hand. You can't even see them sitting on my hand. They're so tiny. One of the smaller ones wants to come up at the end. You can't even see the seed. It's so small. Tiny little packets of new life dropped into the soil and just left there. The soil looks just the same. I talked a couple of weeks ago about what we did to our garden in County Down. We killed the wild grass and we pulled up as many weeds as we could, and it looked like a wilderness. But then we sowed the seed. And for 2 weeks, you might have wondered if we had done anything at all. You couldn't see any difference. But a difference was taking place. We had to wait a few more weeks yet. But when we waited, instead of a mud pile to play on, we had a football pitch with real green grass. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The first Christmas, God was scattering seed. And what he sowed was one tiny baby. Different from all other babies, but still a flesh and blood baby. And that's basically all God did. A little scrap of humanity lying where the animals would normally feed. And the world at the time didn't take much notice. People went on unchanged. But because of that little baby, the world would never be the same again. That little baby was the only begotten Son of God, the King of all kings. And all the powers of the kingdom were in him, just as all the powers of life are in those tiny seeds. And in time, his power would grow to fill the whole earth. One of the characters in one of the Narnia stories says this: a stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world. Or think about the other end of Jesus' life. When Jesus left this earth, he had only chosen a few preachers to tell other people about him. Not very impressive. He didn't found an empire. He didn't remove any kings from their thrones. He didn't ride against Jerusalem in anger. Instead, he just told his followers, go on sowing the seed. And just look for a minute at his actual words. Keep your finger in Mark 4. Just turn over to that other passage we read in John 17. John 17, verse 18, the very bottom verse on the page. Page 1053. This is what Jesus actually says to his Father about the disciples. He says, as you, Father, sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. and the church of Christ, against which hell cannot win, is the result. When someone believes in Jesus, that person is simply taking the seed of God's word into his own life. Now, there's no great change that you can see. If you were to bump into that person the next day, his skin wouldn't have changed color. He wouldn't suddenly have become rich. Even his personality wouldn't be very different. You might think, that person believed in Jesus, but I don't see much difference. Well, just wait a while. Just like the farmer has to wait for the seed to grow. Wait for 10 years, maybe, and you'll see a difference in that person's life. Wait until you see that person in glory. And my, what a difference. But the thing is, you will have to be changed yourself in order to be in glory. A person in whom God's word has been planted has been changed in the deepest way possible. And Jesus can say of people like that, if you look just a couple of verses before where we read in John 17, he talks about his disciples and he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Something different has happened to them. God's word is growing in their lives. See, I think we all too often go too much by what we see on the outside. But God's more interested in what's going on inside, in what we think of him, in if we want to serve other people because we love him. Jesus wasn't much to look at, you know. It was his character. It was his love. It was his pity that touched people, not his looks. The disciples are bothered by how unspectacular the kingdom of God seems. But Jesus is saying to them here, and he's saying to us, the kingdom of God is spectacular, but not yet. Don't panic. Don't forget the power of the seed. And I'm sure that's what Isaiah means when he tells us what God has promised. God says, my word will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please. Come back with me to Mark 4 again. If you're not a believer today, then you're like that soil before the farmer scatters the seed. You may think your life is full, that you're going somewhere. But in God's eyes, you're going nowhere. You're growing nothing that's going to last. We're all like that by nature. You need the Word of God to find a place in your life so that it starts to change you from the inside out. If you are a believer, I know that many of you are believers, then your great task is to do what the farmer does, to sow God's word. Not your own ideas, not something that looks like God's word, not even jewels. If you sow jewels, they won't produce anything. Sow God's word. Pass on God's message as clearly and as simply as you can. And that message, it can be put very simply. We are sunk in sin. We cannot save ourselves. Only God can help through Jesus. That's the message in just two sentences. We do the sowing, but God alone brings life from the seed. There are other groups in the world doing other kinds of things, putting money in people's pockets, putting food in people's stomachs. Those are worthy things. But every farmer knows that if he doesn't plant the seed, then he can't expect a harvest. And what this world needs more than anything else is the good seed about Jesus. His birth from a virgin, his life without a single stain, his death in the place of sinners, and his emerging the other side of death into glory. That word, that seed, is God's mighty power to transform lives from barren and empty to full and fruitful. Do you believe that today? Do you really believe it? Because there are things that happen in the world that might work against it. If you do believe it, are you sowing God's word? You don't have to unload a whole barrow full of seed into someone else's life. One thought from your Bible reading, one verse that you've memorized, planted in someone else's mind, may make a start. Could I encourage you, could I challenge you this week to do that at least once with one other person? To sow a seed of God's word in that person's life. Another way to sow God's word is to bring other people to hear that word being preached. Will you do that? The other evening, Andrew Little was talking about one particular French teenager who had done that, who asked a friend of his to come along to a young people's meeting. He didn't know if the friend would respond or not, but thankfully the friend came and heard God's word being explained. Will you ask God to plant his word deep into people's lives? So don't be discouraged from sowing God's word just because you don't see much change. Trust Jesus. He does know what he's doing. The man scatters the seed. Secondly, then, in verse 27, God grows the seed. Just let you see that as well. God grows the seed, and you can see the three different stages of the seed, from the tender plant to the green head. It isn't fully developed yet, to the full golden head that's beginning to bend over. Because it's now so heavy. And it's God who's in charge of the whole process. Verse 27. The man should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. The farmer doesn't scatter the seed because he wants some exercise. He scatters the seed because he wants to see it grow. He wants a harvest. And just look at how the seed grows here. It grows quite separate from what the man does. Look at verse 27. And should sleep by night and should rise by day. The seed should sprout and grow. The man himself doesn't know how. Once the seed is sown, there's not much the farmer can do. He can make sure it's watered and free from pests. But apart from that, it's beyond his control. All he can do is wait. And what's more, the whole thing is quite surprising that the seed should sprout and grow. Even today, with all their know-how, scientists can't tell you how a grain of seed begins to sprout and reproduce. It's a miracle. A miracle that God put there in the very beginning. And as verse 28 tells us, the growing process is a slow process. The earth yields crops by itself, first the stalk, then the ear, After that, the full corn in the ear. And that's why they take pictures of the whole thing for weeks, over periods of weeks, and then run all those pictures together and show them in a couple of seconds. First, the seed puts out little shoots. Then they change into stalks. And finally, we have the yellow, heavy grain in the ear. And last of all, the result is certain. When the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. There will be a harvest. God has promised that as long as the earth endures, so will seed time and harvest. Those things are true in nature, but those things are also true in the kingdom of God. Spiritual growth is separate from what man can do. Spiritual growth is surprising. Sometimes those we least expected God to change are the ones he does change. Spiritual growth is slow as well. Unlike the beans that Jack bought, it doesn't sprout up overnight. But spiritual growth is certain. Where God is at work, there will be believers. Let's just look at each one of those. Separate, surprising, slow, but certain. Spiritual growth is separate from what man can do. God has plans for the seed. He's working on the seed even when the man is fast asleep. He made the seed. He controls the warmth. He controls the rain. He makes the seed grow. We have no reason to be proud in the Christian life. One person may sow the seed, another person may water it, but only God makes it grow. If you're a believer today, then you have someone inside you, God's Holy Spirit, who is powerful, who is loving, who is very gracious. He is working on you. And he has only good plans for you. Separate. There's surprise here as well. How someone turns from hating God into loving God is a surprise. It's a mystery. How someone like Richard Bennett, whom many of us heard the other week, how he could turn from being a very devout priest, proud of his own performance, into a humble child of God. That's a surprise. That's a miracle. Why God should save me? Why God should save some of you? Why God should save some of his greatest enemies is a mystery. I have met some people as a prison chaplain who did dreadful things, shameful things, wicked things. They were bitter people. They were sunk deep in their sin. But God has chosen to grow his seed in some lives like that. God may be doing surprising things in your life these days. Things you may not understand. Cutting away branches that have no life, no fruit on them. Knocking out supports that you think you need. Well, trust him. He knows what he's doing. Spiritual growth is separate from what man can do. It's surprising. It's often slow. We often expect thunder and lightning instead of the steady sprouting of God's word. But the slowness shows God's kindness. God knows how much we can take, but we can't take too much too fast. Don't expect the full grain too quickly. Be thankful for the stalk, even for the weak and trembling faith that you have. And we will think a bit more about these things in verse 28 this evening, God willing. What I also want to say to you is, be patient with other people as well. Maybe there's just the first signs of growth in their lives. Don't expect too much too soon. Where there is spiritual life, there is hope. Growth in grace is not a firework display. It's tender shoots pushing up towards the Son of God. And know this, spiritual growth is separate, it's surprising, it's slow, but it's certain. God finishes what he starts. Don't panic when things don't make sense. Hasn't God sown his word in you? Well then, his word will grow. No one will defeat God's plans for you. God doesn't leave a job half finished. He completes everything he starts. If you're a believer today, you can't escape God's blessing. Man scatters the seed, God grows the seed, and finally, the seed is harvested. And I did have a picture for this, but it doesn't seem to have come with me. So you just have to imagine the seed being harvested. Look at verse 29. When the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. It started very small. It did grow slowly. But what an ending. What a climax. It's a grand harvest. God moves the farmer to sow. God grows the seed. So God will gather it in with much rejoicing. He's a careful farmer. He doesn't cut down the crop before it's ready. Nor does he leave the crop to rot on the stalk. He harvests immediately, as soon as the grain is ripe. God's kingdom begins on earth. But we have to wait until Jesus comes back to see that kingdom fully. We walk by faith now, but we shall see face to face. We must believe that God never takes away any believer. God never harvests his people until they're ready. If you're still here today, then God has work for you, believer. But maybe you're still that field before it's sown. There's no real joy in your life. There's only fear and worry when you think about death approaching. There's no fruit. There's only emptiness. There's a gnawing sense that you're on the outside. If I'm describing you here, then let God's word take root in your life. Don't hide your sin from him anymore. Begin to read God's word every day. Start with one of the Gospels, Mark or John, and work out from there. And begin to obey what you read. If you mean business with God, you'll find out that he is real, that his word is true. And before you know it, you'll discover that God is growing his kingdom in your life. Could I finish with you, believer, today? Don't be tempted to doubt God. God knew what he was doing when he turned his back on his son on the cross, because that was the way he was saving his people. God knows what he's doing with you now, believer. This life is just a warm-up for heaven, the real life. And then all our sins will be stripped away. You will be perfect. Because when Jesus appears, believers will be like him. Yes, we'll still be different from each other, but we'll all reflect Jesus. Because we shall see him as he is, in all his glory. Let's stand as we come to pray to God. Our Father, we thank you for that simple parable, simple but profound. Help us not to worry about your kingdom. May we be more concerned about the seed of your word in our lives. May we be concerned that it's growing in us and producing fruit in us. May we be concerned that the harvest is coming. Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready. Lord, help us believers, even this week, to sow your word in another life. And we would pray too for those not yet believers here, that you would work in their lives as only you can. Show them their sin, their selfishness, their pride. Show them Jesus, the only Savior, and help them to turn from sin and to ask you to grow your word in their lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We close our service by singing Psalm 112b. Psalm 112b on page 280. And we're going to sing all of the psalm to the tune Ellers, number 273. This is a lovely psalm. We've just been thinking about the seed. And in the first stanza, there's seed of a different kind. It talks about children. It talks about descendants. And those are the seed of God's people. And God is planning and preparing for the next generation, for the seed that will grow. And if you look on then into stanza 2, you can see some of the fruit that God is pleased to grow in the lives of believers. Abundant riches are within his house. His righteousness endures forevermore. The darkness of the just will turn to light. For all his ways are gracious, kind, and fair. That's what God does. That's the fruit that God produces in a life that is yielded to him. Stanza 3 tells us more about that kind of life. In stanza 4, we see that worry is gone. The heart of the just person is steadfast, is firm, is changed inside. Because that's the way Jesus was. Jesus shares his life with those who trust him. So that no matter what comes, what happens, we know that our lives are safe in God's keeping. And stanza 5 really just gives us the two sides. Those God is looking after, those who are his people, and those who are still away from him, who will one day grind their teeth in rage, who will be in despair. May that not be you. May you instead allow God's word to grow in your lives so that you become just and righteous and so that God can produce his fruit in your life. Psalm 112b. Let's praise God.
Is blessed indeed, who makes the Lord's commands his great delight. His children will be mighty in the earth, descendants of the upright will be riches are within his house. His righteousness endures forevermore. The darkness of the just will turn to light. For all his ways are gracious, kind, and fair. gives and freely lends, and who with justice governs his affairs. The righteous man will never be removed, and ever will his memory endure. At evil tidings he is not afraid. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady, he will never fear. He comes at last to look upon his foes. With open hand he offers to the poor. His good endures, his head is lifted high. The wicked sees and grinds his teeth in rage, for he despairs, his cherished hope must die.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.